coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for, and Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
Now, I'm free.
Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
There are no strings on me.
It's a very sad day here at Huntsville Home Video, and for the world. Have some unfortunate news.
Really?
I'm sure you've seen the reports. I'm sure you've heard the rumors. Well, they're not rumors. They're actually facts right now, and it's very heartbreaking. I'm a little emotional right now bringing this to you. As of this recording, Avengers Endgame is no longer the biggest movie of all times.
I heard about this.
It's a very sad day. That just horribly overrated piece of shit Avatar has once again reclaimed the top spot. And you know, to have this happen during our review of Phase 2 of Marvel Month here at Huntsville Home Video, follow along at huntsvillehomevideo.com. We are hurt as a nation and as a world, but we will start the campaign to re-release Avengers Endgame back into theaters and get it back on the top spot. I'm sorry. I'm a little emotional
today. No, I get it. But here, but I'm not as emotional. And do you know why? Well, first of all, I haven't seen it. Second of all, you know, they had to do a re-release in what was it, Japan?
Yeah, it was in China. Yeah.
Oh, China. Yeah. Same thing, only different. And so they had to do a re-release, right, to make it at the top spot again.
Yeah.
And to me, that's cheating. So I don't consider this Avatar.
And I mean, it's the second time they've done the re-release, but whatever.
Exactly.
Well, I mean,
so that's double cheating, you know?
Yeah.
Like those artists that wanted to sell concert tickets with their album to put their album up at top because the album itself wasn't good enough. So fuck them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with
you. So I'm not going to be sad about it.
And you know, I'm gonna pull it together for the sake of the podcast.
Yeah, you're gonna quit being a little bitch about it.
Our listeners deserve that.
Can we stop talking so low?
You know, not now because you call me out. No. I think the whole podcast. I'm gonna bring it down because it's very serious topic of discussion.
Well,
that we're having to
guarantee it's a.
All right,
a
fuck it. I'm over it.
I was feeling really spiritual because I had my hands together.
You were. You were
when
like...
When I talk like that, apparently my hands come together like Gandhi or some shit.
That is what some wrestling buddies of mine call the J.R. Owen Hart voice. Because...
Don't know who that is.
At a pay-per-view, wrestler by the name of Owen Hart passed away in the ring. He was being lowered from the ceiling in a stunt.
Oh.
And his cable snapped. And he crashed into the middle of the ring, but when this happened live on TV, thankfully, like no one saw it happen live on TV. But when JR came back, he was like, "Fans, we here are at the arena. Tragedy today. So that's my JR voice. Serious voice when serious things happen.
I gotcha.
I realize I am an absolute monster for comparing the death of Owen Hart to Avengers Endgame losing the top spot at the box office. We'll just edit this part out.
No, we won't. And I wouldn't know any better because I haven't seen either one.
Because the world needs to know, Jack, that you are an absolute monster.
If they haven't figured it out already.
Right?
You know
over the
mean?
Course of the last 31 episodes.
Yeah.
Jack's kind of a prick.
He's kind of a douche.
Yeah, kind of a douche. I like how you put the serious, like, Jack's kind of a douche. Like, you kept that going. All right, that's fair.
We know who we are.
We do. Like, yeah, I just embrace it.
This voice because I'm never like this.
I'm
always projecting and I don't mean to be. I'm just a loud motherfucker. I can't help it. And so it's so nice to just talk. I didn't know this was my voice.
We found the real Leanne today.
This is the real Leanne today.
All right.
I don't know if it's good or bad.
Well, we'll find out.
Okay.
We'll see how the podcast goes as we get set to begin almost the tail end of Phase 2 of Marvel Month as we are set to review Avengers Age of Ultron. A movie that you got a little antsy for.
I did. I watched it immediately after the last movie.
After we did Guardians of the Galaxy, normally you'll watch the movie like the day before, the night before we review, but you're just like, nope, I'm going to watch it today.
Mm-hmm. And, I had to.
And you were all about it. And I've been dying to chat with you for the last week knowing that you've seen that movie, but we never talk in advance. We always save it for when we turn the mics on because we don't want to miss any potential gold.
Exactly.
Because we have so much of it.
Exactly. If there's any two people that can create gold, it's us.
I
call
agree.
Us Rumpelstiltskins, because that's who we are.
What?
Was that Rumpelstiltskin that made gold out of hay?
I thought he was the one that just slept for a long time. Or no, that was Rip Van Winkle. God damn it, Jack.
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. I
don't
know.
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
His name is my name, too. See, gold. Gold. Wait, we're just spinning it out.
Got our little gold spinner.
Fling, here's some gold. Flim, flim.
Just great. Just
exactly.
Fucking money. Fucking money.
Hope it translates into some actual money.
Because we got it. Those Huntsville Home Video track suits are not going to pay for themselves.
No, they're not, Jack. We need the people to pay for them for us.
That's right. Although I saw that my $1,400 stimmy going to be hitting my account on Wednesday.
On what? How do you know it's Wednesday?
Because it's sitting in my pending transactions in my bank account.
I haven't checked today. Can I take a moment to check?
Please
to see
do.
If my
take a
stimmy
moment.
Has come in, because it hasn't before now. And my regions, Plug Regions, want to pop onto this gold spinning podcast. it has not hit. No, I got it. I don't even see it in there.
Mm-mm.
That's terrible. It's still poor.
Guess what? It's still poor. And however much a Huntsville Home Video tracksuit costs once that stimulus checks, you're going to be that much more poor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we will be doing this podcast in some crushed velvet comfort. You heard?
I can't wait.
Oh, my God.
No restrictions.
No,
full
none.
Movement. Coordination of colors. I'm in.
Oh, yes. So last week, immediately after we wrapped up talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, you went home. You watched Avengers Age of Ultron. You texted me one thing about the movie, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then I've been just dying to chat with you to see where you and I stand on Avengers Age of Ultron. I know where I stand. I want to see if you're standing on the same platform with me.
I don't know.
If we're going to be looking across the aisles at each other, just shaking our fists, going, We'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Do you want me to tell you what I thought?
Right out of the gate, what did you think of Avengers Age of Ultron?
So I've watched it twice now.
Okay.
It was good. I liked it. I liked the point. I liked Ultron. But it felt like it went on for forever.
It did.
It was like not even 2.5 hours long, and I just felt like I sat there for forever and watched it.
So we're on the same side of the argument here.
It was good, but I don't feel like it was executed well or the best.
100% agree with you.
Okay.
100% agree with you. I think that the movie was unfocused.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should have put way more focus on Ultron.
Yes.
He should have been in there way more.
Again, such a fantastic villain. And the thing that I texted you was James Spader was a fantastic choice
so good.
To voice Ultron.
Absolutely inspired.
Mm-hmm.
He really does come off as the evil world-dominating Tony Stark.
Yeah. And that was exactly what they wanted him to do.
Right.
Needed him to do.
No, it was super good casting on that part. I loved the casting of Elizabeth Olsen as Wanda Maximoff, Aaron Johnson as Pietro.
Mm-hmm.
I was really excited to see them because this was an interesting time because Fox still owned, Sony still owned the Spider-Man and X-Men rights.
Mm-hmm.
And Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, Wanda and Pietro, are technically mutants. They're in the X-Men world.
Okay.
And there was an X-Men movie that came out with Quicksilver, with a different actor. Are you familiar with that one?
I'm not familiar with it, but I know I've seen Okay. I've not watched it, but I know I've seen previews and knew it happened.
Yeah, so you know, they couldn't call them mutants. They couldn't call them Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, mm-hmm. but they still put them in the movie. So it was a very interesting time for Marvel fans because we had movies with two Quicksilvers, and like John Q. Public that doesn't read comics might go, well, why these look a lot alike and mm-hmm. very interesting.
I would have been very confused if I hadn't had that explanation from you before going into the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
I do like how you're still keeping
I was trying to tone it down. Don't worry, once we get into the movie I'll hype it up.
But yeah, like we were saying, a very unfocused movie. There were tales that came out from the production of the movie, because this was another Joss Whedon direction.
Who did he do the other Avengers
movie? He did the first Avengers.
Okay.
And so he was apparently signed on as a creative consultant for the overall phase two.
Okay.
So he had a lot of good things to say about like Guardians of the Galaxy when James Gunn was brought on board. He had some input there. To what level, I don't know. But some stories came out around the time the movie came out, Avengers Age of Ultron, that Joss Whedon and the executives at Marvel butted heads a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like some of the scenes. They didn't want like that whole stretch where they're at the farm.
Yeah.
Like that could have gone away.
Mm-hmm.
One of the sides agreed. The other one wanted it in there. I can't even remember which one at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was a lot of dissension, I guess you could say. Very unfocused movie was the result. Still a good movie.
Yes.
But not a great movie.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Okay.
I agreed.
All right.
Yeah.
This was also a movie that I saw twice in the same day. Because I was convinced there was no way that I wasn't not going to love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I got tickets to the very first showing, and then they opened up tickets for another theater for a later showing that more of my friends were able to attend.
Mm-hmm.
Another buddy got me tickets, and I was like, well, why not?
Why not?
I'll go see it twice in the same
day. Yeah.
And it was, it was okay.
Okay.
It was all right.
Were you disappointed, or you just were like, mm?
I wasn't disappointed. I was not as impressed.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. So we'll start talking about the movie, and that will lead into my feelings on the film. So the movie starts out, and we've already got the Avengers assembled.
Yeah.
We got them at the end of the last movie,
mm-hmm.
and now they're a team. Now they're focused. Now they're working on taking down Hydra.
Yes.
All throughout the world. And they start out with an attack on a compound in Sarkovia.
Mm-hmm.
An action scene that I thought was great, but it was also very reminiscent of the last act of Avengers.
Right.
Like, if you think about it again, like, a lot of those same beats mm-hmm. kind of came through in that scene.
Okay.
And so my thought was like, okay, this is going to be Joss Whedon's way of saying, this is where we start. You know, we ended that last Avengers movie. We started this Avengers movie almost exactly the same with the action beats, and then we're going to take it in a totally different direction, and they didn't.
Hmm.
This is where Joss Whedon starts to get exposed for being a one-trick pony, in my opinion.
Oh, now we're insulting Joss Whedon.
I mean, I enjoy Joss Whedon's dialogue.
Okay.
I enjoy his work. He did an X-Men comic for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But Joss Whedon's kind of a piece of shit.
Doesn't he have some personal allegations against him? Or
he sure does. Again.
Isn't that going on? Oh,
yeah,
again? Okay.
Again.
Mm.
It came out during when the whole Me Too thing happened.
Right.
It came out in like a little bit.
Oh.
And then when the Justice League movie came out, so that's like a completely different movie universe. That's the Superman,
that's
Batman.
DC.
Yeah, DC. Yeah. Zack Snyder, the guy that was originally directing that, he had to bow out because he had a death in his family, and he wasn't able to finish the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So Joss Whedon swooped in and allegedly just rewrote everything on a movie that was like 90% done already.
Oh.
And the end result was an absolute piece of shit. Justice League is a horrible movie.
Oh.
And Joss Whedon got a lot of the blame for that. One of the actors in that movie later came out and said that Joss Whedon was incredibly unprofessional and talked down to him and treated him like a piece of shit and da-da-da-da-da.
Mm.
And then recently, it was Charisma Carpenter, who was on Buffy. She came out and said like horrible things about Joss Whedon, like just what an absolute fucking piece of shit he is. And several other cast members came out and were like, yeah, that happened.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Right?
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. And he's one of those dudes, too. Like, we talk about how much we hate hypocrites. He is, like, the worst kind. He's one of those, like, I write strong, powerful female characters because that's what women are, and I'm a feminist, and blah, blah, blah. And then he treats women like shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Yup.
Damn it. All right, so, yeah. Another one on the list of people we hate.
Well, thankfully, this was kind of the last thing that Joss Whedon does in the MCU. Because after this movie, the Russo brothers take over, who did Captain America: Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. They go on to do Civil War, Infinity War, and Endgame.
Okay.
And the Russo brothers are awesome. Like, I love those guys. And as far as I know, they don't treat women like shit. So even better.
At least we haven't heard
Not yet. and that's going to be a tough one if that day comes out. It's like, yeah, Joan Anthony Russo called me a whore on the set of Endgame. And I was just like, damn it.
I'd be like, well, were you being a whore?
Right. That would be my first question.
That would be what I would want to ask.
Yeah. When that comes out about Joss Whedon, I'm like, yeah, I can see that. But the Russo brothers, I'm like, come on, not the Russos. What were you doing?
Were you blowing somebody under the craft table? Hmm? What? Were you?
I know you see them Chris Hemsworth Thor muscles and you just get gooey, but yeah. Come on.
Right?
Leave the Russos alone. They gave us Endgame. Oh, they gave us formerly the biggest movie of all times. And once again, will be the biggest movie in the future.
It'll be back on top.
Upon the re-release.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the opening of Age of Ultron. We get that action beat. We also get we get to see the team functioning well together.
Yes.
They're bouncing off each other well.
They know their roles.
They've got a couple good combos. I like when Thor and Cap team up, when Thor just smacks his shield.
Hammer on his
sends
shield.
A little shockwave throughout. So I dug that. Sending the Hulk in when the Hulk needs to be there.
Yeah.
Tony Stark giving Cap grief because he doesn't like the harsh language.
That was such a cute bit throughout the movie. Because I think the first word uttered is Stark saying shit, and Cap's like language. And then everybody in the Shield or the Avengers universe hears about it and jokes about it throughout the entire movie, which was super cute. But they are fighting together because they have found Strucker, who has Loki's scepter, and that's what they're trying to get. And they end up getting through, and they find the scepter, and they discover the twins,
They meet the twins. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, they call the twins.
They get unleashed onto the battlefield. We meet Wanda, who has some weird, trippy mind powers. We'll later find out. But first, we get introduced to Pietro, who takes Hawkeye out of the equation pretty quick.
Yes, he does. Ugh. And I liked getting to know Hawkeye in this movie, which we'll continue throughout the movie. But he takes Hawkeye out. And I didn't know that Wanda did the mind stuff. I guess I forget that from Civil War. I just thought she blew shit up, so I didn't know all the creepy mind stuff and all that. That was really super cool.
That's right, because Civil War was the first Marvel movie that you saw.
Yeah, that I ever saw.
And you never, like, all these movies that we have just spent the last couple months reviewing, you ignored all that shit.
Yeah.
And went right into Civil War.
Again, I had a ticket, so I went.
So how does it feel now that you've gotten to know these characters and flesh them out? And I know it's been a while since you've seen Civil War, so it might be a whole new...
Yeah. I don't remember shit from Civil War. I just know a lot of people were fighting.
Damn.
That's all I read. It was a long time. It was when it first came out. What year did that come out?
Oh, that must have been 16, 17.
Okay. That's been a good 4 years.
Yeah.
A lot of shit has happened. Don't really remember. But I'm excited to watch it again now, knowing all the background.
Now that you know.
Now, the background's nice.
Wait, why are the good guys fighting the other good guys?
I was very confused by that.
Who's this person with the blowing stuff up powers? Mm-hmm.
I'm in the theater with a bunch of people, and I'm like, I don't know why they're... Aren't they all on the same team? Isn't a point for one a point for all? What are we doing? I was very confused. I was like, is Captain America a good guy or a bad guy? I'm very confused. Robert Downey Jr.'s in this?
God, I
cannot. And I couldn't say anything. I couldn't say anything because I was going to get like hit.
Oh, I cannot wait until we talk about that one.
Right?
That's going to be a fun one.
I won't remember a thing.
Well, and the thing too that you'll learn about Scarlet Witch over the next few movies is that she is incredibly powerful. And in the comics, she is one of the most powerful characters out there.
Oh, wow.
She's like Omega level fuck you up.
Mm. See, again, it was one I'd never heard of, really.
And they do a really good job of amping up her power scale as the movies go on. So she doesn't just start out the end-all, be-all badass, but she ends up that way.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of cool to see that progression. But yeah, for this one, she has some mind power. She has some telepathy.
Yeah. So they have been experimented on by Strucker because they are mutants. But Strucker doesn't want to.
Well, they're mutants, but we can't call them that.
We can't call them that.
And they don't even acknowledge that.
They're enhanced,
yes. They're volunteers.
Yeah,
definitely not mutants.
No. So Strucker is not ready to put them in the fight. So he decides we're going to surrender so that the Avengers can take us over. And maybe once they get my weapons, they won't delve any further into this experimentation that I'm doing.
Right.
Is kind of the plan. But while discussing that, the twins escape and then they start fighting the Avengers.
Yeah.
Which was really super cool. That's how Hawkeye gets hurt.
He just gets sideswiped out of nowhere, and then we get another recurring gag where, you know, oh, you didn't see that coming?
Mm-hmm.
And then just zoom takes off.
Yes.
Great.
Our Iron Man gets to Strucker, and he gets to Strucker's lab, and he discovers the scepter, and before he grabs the scepter, the twin plays a little mind control on Iron Man.
On Tony.
Yeah,
sees,
on Tony.
Gives him a glimpse of the future where all the Avengers are dead and the big flying whale creatures from the end of Avengers are flying around.
Mm-hmm.
They're going back to Earth and Tony sees a dead Captain America and he pops back to life and he's like, you could have stopped this, Tony.
Why didn't you do it more?
Yeah.
Oh, that was terrible. So she does that. Tony grabs the scepter, takes it back. Natasha is paired up with the Hulk, kind of, because the Hulk is hulking.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to do a little lullaby for him, or a little whatever you call it, to settle him down.
Has to soothe the savage beast.
Yeah, and she does that, gets him to calm down, and then they head back to the ship to leave. Their Avengers ship.
The Quinjet.
The Quinjet, whatever it is.
Whatever the
thing.
It had
a name?
Yes, they have names.
I'm going to write that down.
All right.
Quinjet.
Add it to the list of things you might want to remember for when you start reading comic books.
Yeah. So at headquarters, we are introduced to Dr. Cho, who has a technology that regenerates or creates tissue.
Yep.
So they're working on Hawkeye to fix his little side there where he got hurt.
And a quick interesting side, maybe interesting for you, I don't know. But that character, Dr. Cho, has a son named Amadeus Cho, who's one of the smartest people in the Marvel comic universe.
Mm.
And eventually goes on to become another version of the Hulk.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I'll be curious to see, because they're introducing a lot of... Or they're going to be introducing a lot of younger characters in the MCU, either through the movies or through the Disney Plus series.
Mm-hmm.
And the Young Avengers is a thing that's been rumored, and Amadeus Cho could be a part of that because we've got characters that are being introduced that are Young Avengers.
Oh, wow.
So I'd be curious to see if old Amadeus shows up.
It's never going to end. It's going to be constantly money flow through the Marvel universe.
It is, and the thing that excites me the most is, and we'll talk about this, especially during Age of Ultron, because I think that a lot of non-comic book readers aren't prepared for how fucking weird the comics can get.
Okay.
Because they go to some weird places.
Mm-hmm.
Like WandaVision, which just wrapped up on Disney Plus. That's an example of how weird comics can get.
Okay.
And a lot of people initially were like, what the fuck is this? I don't know what this is. Dumb. This is stupid. Get this out of here. I was like, never, ever read a comic book.
Because
you're going to go, what the fuck is this?
Ugh. Just be open to it, man. just be open to things,
just
man.
Just enjoy the ride, man.
Right, exactly. So Banner and Tony decide to give the scepter a once-over. They've got 3 days to work on it and see exactly how it's being used. And they analyze the gem inside, which is one of the Infinity Stones. You'll learn that later. But it looks like a brain when you analyze it. It looks like neurons kind of firing. So Strucker was working on artificial intelligence, is what they decipher. And Tony wants to harness the power and create the Ultron program. The Ultron program is his. And it's going to basically protect the world before there's a threat, because he's working off of the vision that he got of the Avengers dying. So he's trying to create a world where you don't need the Avengers. It's already taken care of before it happens, basically.
Yeah, because we meet the Iron Legion earlier, which is just basically a gaggle of artificial intelligence versions of Iron Man.
Yes.
And he wants to create that. Ultron would be running the whole thing. They'd basically just be policing, protecting the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
That's his big dream. That's his goal.
Exactly.
Which was an interesting twist, because in the comics, Hank Pym, who you'll meet in our review of Iron Man, was the one that actually created Ultron, not Tony Stark.
You mean our review of Ant-Man?
What did I say?
You said Iron Man.
Damn it.
Ant-Man!
I should legitimately go get checked out. There's something going
it's
on.
It's okay. I've been stumbling today.
It's all right.
As I normally do, it's so I guess nobody's caught on.
Yes, Hank Pym was the creator of Ultron. So not Tony Stark.
Okay. Well, Tony decides that's what he's going to do, and he has 3 days to do it because they're going to have a big celebration, and then Thor is going to take the scepter back, correct?
Yeah.
So while Tony is gone from the lab, and they've been running these tests, but they shut things down for the party, it looks like Ultron kind of powers himself on, and he's going back and forth with Jarvis, and of course James Spader. Sounds amazing. And Jarvis is like, you seem hostile, I need to shut you down. But then looks like Ultron takes over Jarvis.
He incapacitates Jarvis, and then basically Ultron's consciousness goes into one of the Iron Legion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So while this is happening during the party, we have to talk about the party because they're having this big celebration. We get our Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah.
Thor pours out this like liquor that's been aged for 1,000 years or whatever. And Stan Lee thinks he can handle it because there's a bunch of veterans there.
This is not meant for mortal men. Neither was Omaha Beach, Blondie.
Yes. So he takes a drink, and then immediately they're carrying him out. And he's like, Excelsior. Which was super great.
That was one of my favorite Stan Lee cameos, too.
That's
by
a good
the way.
One.
Like, I thought that was a really good one.
He was a perfect fit for that.
Oh, yeah.
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 Let's see. Also, there's a little scene where Cap and Falcon are talking, and Cap's like, I don't know if I can afford a place in Brooklyn. And I'm like, what? How are they getting paid? Like, he should be able to afford anywhere. That just stuck out to me. It's so odd.
Also, a little nod to the continuing search for Bucky between Cap and Sam. He's like, oh, how are we doing on that missing persons case?
Mm-hmm.
Nice little throwback there.
Yep. We also learn that Natasha might have some feelings for Banner,
which I do not like.
I figured you wouldn't like.
I didn't like it at all.
Do you not like, here, I have to ask this.
Yep.
Do you not like it at all because you like her so much, or you just don't like it at all?
I just don't like it at all.
Okay.
I would love for the character of Natasha to be involved with someone. It should be like Cap, or it should be, you know, like anyone but Banner. That was just, I didn't like that pairing.
Yeah.
I also didn't like how we went from Winter Soldier, where Natasha was just this badass, fucking take charge, get shit done. She was like, she was on the team. She was an equal to like Cap and Falcon. And then now she's just like some lovelorn.
She's a side character almost.
She is. She's
a
side character. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, I don't know how much of, if anything, was changed, because during the filming of this, Scarlett Johansson was actually pregnant. So, like, in some of the action scenes, it's either just her stunt double, or they shoot her from a different angle, because, like, by the time they got deep into production, she was starting to show a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of Charisma Carpenter's claims against Joss Whedon was that he had some unkind things to say about her if she were to ever become pregnant? If I ever find out that Joss said some unkind things about Scarlett, I'm going to pound that pasty fucking nerd into a pulp.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Not you pounding him into a pulp.
No, no, no.
That part's great.
I got you there. I figured that's where you're going.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of them together. I get the point because she, later on in the movie, she feels like a monster. And so she identifies with Bruce, like feeling, they both feel like the monsters of the group. So they want to run away together. But it was a drastic change.
It was so drastic.
I get it, but I didn't like it.
Didn't like it.
Wasn't a huge fan.
Could have completely been written out of the movie.
Yeah.
And it would have changed nothing from the movie.
You're exactly right. And we can just leave them without romantic relationships. They can be a team and not have a romantic thing.
Because I mentioned during our review of Winter Soldier, I loved that they never tried to get Natasha and Steve together.
Right.
Even though they had the opportunity to do it,
mm-hmm.
You didn't need it.
No, exactly.
You don't need that. And you've already got Tony, he's got Pepper, Thor has Jane Foster. You know, Natasha doesn't necessarily need,
mm-hmm.
She don't need no man to save her.
Exactly. So, yeah, I wasn't too hot on that one. Also, there is a fun bit where they take turns trying to lift Thor's hammer.
Yes.
That was really cute. None of them can do it. I love Iron Man and War Machine trying to do it at the same time. They can't. But the funny part to me was when Cap decides to try, you can see Thor get a little antsy because there's a possibility that Cap would be worthy to wield the hammer of Thor.
If anyone,
it would be Cap.
And then, yeah, like, you're right, that was a great reaction. Thor just was like, huh? Nothing. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Nah, nope.
Yeah.
I also love Tony about to pick it up. He's like, so if I pick this up, I rule Asgard? All right, well, if I do, I'm going to reinstate Prima Nocta. Which I thought was fucking fun. And a total Tony Stark thing to do.
Yes, absolutely. So they are doing that. They're having their fun. And then the member of the Iron Legion that Ultron has taken over comes out, and he's, oh my gosh, he looks so cool because he was suspended up, so the wires are gone and the like fuel or whatever's leaking. Oh, it was so cool.
Just a creepy looking,
mm-hmm.
like a totally twisted version of Iron Man.
Yes.
Just coming to life, and, mm-hmm. and he's kind of giving the Avengers a little speech about, you guys aren't as cool as you think you are.
No.
Like you're killers. You're
essentially, that's what he says. Yeah. And he labels the Avengers as killers. He says that humanity needs to evolve and that the only way for peace is to get rid of the Avengers. Cause that's the whole point of Ultron, is to provide world peace.
Peace in our time.
But with all the information that's within Ultron, he takes it as we need to get rid of the Avengers to have peace. And then a big old fight ensues, which is really awesome and cool. And he takes command, of course, of the Iron Fleet and attacks the Avengers, but he escapes through the internet. Because I think Cap gets him, I think, with his shield, and then he's gone. He escapes.
Yep,
he gets
so now he can, basically has his consciousness, can float freely,
mm-hmm.
through the World Wide Web.
Yes, and I believe he goes to Strucker's lab, doesn't he? And powers things up and gets things moving.
Yep.
Which we'll see throughout the
movie.
Sure
does.
And the scepter is gone. And when we see in that little scene. So now everybody's mad at Tony because this was Tony's idea, especially Cap. And they're mad that he did it without saying anything to anyone. And Tony's trying not to reveal the vision that he saw, through all this. And
this was great for me, too, because at the time, my godson, who I think was like 15 at the time, it would have been 15, he is totally Team Iron Man.
Right.
I am totally Team Captain America, and we give each other shit like all the time. And I was like watching this with him in the theater. I just smacked him on the shoulder. I'm like, "Look at that, Tony fucked up again."
Oh.
And he's just sitting in the cell like, "Well,
yeah, you can't fight against that."
I was like, "No, Tony fucked that up.
He messed it up.
Tony went and broke the world again.
He did, you know.
Way to go, dumbass."
Oh, I mean, okay, you can calm it down.
Calm down.
Yeah, everybody's mad at Stark, and Because, you know, he tried, but he did severely mess up. In the meantime, Ultron finds the twins, and he recruits them onto his side. And they have an agenda already against Stark, because when they were 10 years old, they lost their parents. Their building was bombed. And luckily, the shell didn't go off, caused a lot of damage, but it had Stark written on it. So they've been after Tony Stark since they were 10 years old.
Yeah, and they're from they're in Sokovia. They live there where Strucker's base was at or whatever, and there was military kerfuffles and whatever conflicts. That's the word I was looking for today. Jesus
military
Christ.
Kerfuffle.
I was looking for the word conflict.
You can't. I mean, I can't say anything because I fuck up words all the time, right? And I already have today.
Kerfuffle is such a better word, but
it is. But when you pair it with military,
you're right.
It does not make sense,
sir. We have a kerfuffle, sir.
Kerfuffle in Sector C. God, I hope that's real military. Oh, that would be great, but it's not.
Just blow the shit out of it. Send a bomb over there.
Yeah.
Send some of that Stark tech.
So the plan with the twins is that Wanda's going to tear them apart from the inside using her mind tricks is basically the thing. And Ultron also kills Strucker.
Which was a bummer. I wanted more Strucker.
You wanted more Strucker?
Yeah.
He seemed like he would have developed into a good bad guy.
Yeah, he would. I mean, in the comics, he's you know, a lower level threat. He's still like a Hydra main player, whatever. But he's never one of those major villains that you have to worry about. But he's a fun little side villain.
Okay.
And I thought the dude they cast him used to cast him. I thought he was good. And I'm like, yeah, we could have used more of Strucker, but then no. Had to go and cack them off screen.
They did, and a picture is sent off, and the Avengers get it, and he's got peace written on the wall above him in blood, which was a great display. Great display of the body he got, I think.
Right, yeah.
And so they believe that since Ultron killed off Strucker, there's a reason for that. So they start to look for the files they have on Strucker, and they can't find them on the computer, but they do have the paper copies. So they start going through files, and they find a black market arms dealer who's branded, I can't remember his name, but he's branded as a thief in Wakandan.
That is Claw.
Okay.
Who is a character from the comics.
Okay.
You'll see him again in phase three.
Oh.
And again, he was one of the, you know, the, like kind of the smaller level characters.
Gotcha.
This is also the first reference we get to Wakanda.
Yeah, that was exciting.
Which is the, you know, of course, the setting for Black Panther, which again we'll see in phase three. But yeah, so we're introduced Andy Serkis, the guy that plays him, super talented dude. He was the one that played Gollum in the Lord of the Rings movies. He did the motion capture for that.
Okay.
He did motion capture for the Peter Jackson King Kong. Very, very good actor, like very underrated.
I feel like I've seen him before, but I don't know what I've seen him in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he did a great job as the arms dealer, as Claw? Claw?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he's great. I love when Wanda's trying to get, you know, she's threatening him, and she's like, "What are you afraid of?" And he's like, "Cuttlefish."
And you know what? I was sitting on the couch. I was like, "Yeah, those things are fucking weird,
right?"
Yeah, he was like, "They start doing all those disco's lights and they distract you while they get you." And he was like, "So if you plan on putting a cuttlefish in my head, I know you're not the one in charge."
Right.
Which is, I mean, he was super cool because he was not scared of them at all. And then Ultron makes his presence, and basically he wants the vibranium that Claw has, and he was like, "This is worth billions," so Ultron just literally transfers billions into his accounts.
And I love his line when Ulysses Claw realizes all the money is in his account, you know, and Ultron says, "Well, make your friends rich and your enemies rich and find out which one is which."
Yes.
I love that line. That's a great one.
It's a good line, and Claw recognizes that as a line from Tony Stark. And when he mentions that, Ultron gets very pissed off. "Don't you call me Tony Stark," because he's not a Tony Stark fan. So that he ends up cutting his arm off, doesn't he?
He does.
And I love the way Ultron, he just speaks so smooth. It was just done so well because Also before that, he was like, I put this in your dummy account or whatever he called it. And he was like, finances are a strange thing. And
right?
He's just so fluid and great. And he was like, I'm sorry I did that to you, but how dare you call me Stark? You know, it's just, he was just done so well. I'm like you. I wish we'd have had more time with him.
There's a YouTube channel called Red Letter Media. I'm mm-hmm. a big fan of it. They do some kind of off the wall, quirky movie reviews.
Okay.
Kind of like us here at Huntsville Home Video.
I'd say off the wall and quirky are definitely
Red Letter contenders. Media just does it better.
I believe that too.
But they produced when Age of Ultron came out, they produced a video called Ultron California, where they took James Spader's lines from his character from The Office, and then they took footage from Age of Ultron, but made him speak as the character from The Office.
Okay, we're watching that immediately as soon as we get done with this podcast.
Even as someone who has never seen The Office, I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like, and I had no context what these lines came from, but I'm like, that's pretty fucking funny.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, we're watching that when we get done. So let's speed it up.
All right.
As they're kind of having their kerfuffle.
So the Avengers win. The end.
The end. The Avengers comes in and they're all fighting. Quicksilver's, the twins are still there, and then Wanda proceeds during this fight to kind of give visions to each Avenger, except for Hawkeye, who was like,
yep.
I already had that mind control shit. I don't want it again. And he electrocutes her with an electrified arrow.
I was very happy with that because I felt Hawkeye was super wasted in Avengers.
I'm super excited to get to know his character because I don't know anything about him. So, and I thought he was played super well as well. Yeah. So let's see. Cap, so the visions are, like, Thor goes back to Asgard and everybody's dead or dying. Let's see. Cap, he goes to the dance hall where he was supposed to meet Peggy.
He does.
And she's there, but then nobody's there. And also Wanda gets for Natasha, it shows her training as an assassin.
In the Red Room.
Ooh, goodness. And there's some medical things going on, which we might find out what's going on with her later. And then Wanda gets a hold of Banner and hulks him the fuck out.
And Banner is sitting back at the jet. He's waiting for the team in case they need him as you know, kind of the Hail Mary if things go sideways.
Was it like going green or do we need to?
Yeah, we got a code green.
Code green, that's what it was, yeah. Yeah, he was hanging back, but then Wanda gets a hold of him and hulks him, so Iron Man has to take him down. And in the process, it was a big, cool fight, but I'm just like, Hulk, come on. Like, get it together. You know what I mean?
You're such a moody prick.
Exactly. Iron Man calls for Veronica, which is like this special cage that's supposed to contain the Hulk, which doesn't work because he goes underground, and it's supposed to be armor. Iron Man comes out as a Hulk-sized version of himself, which was cool.
The Hulkbuster. A buddy of mine who's a stand-up comic has a great bit about the Hulkbuster, because that's an actual Iron Man armor from the comics.
Okay.
And when we got confirmation that was coming, holy shit. And my buddy, of course, is on Team Iron Man, so he marked out even harder. But yeah, he's got like a 5-minute bit that I could not even do justice, so I'm not going to try to recreate it. Maybe I'll just have him do it on the podcast
we'll
one of these
on.
Days. But it was so funny. I'd see him do it in his stand-up routine, and I'm sitting there just laughing. Like, and a lot of non-comic book readers, they'd be like, I mean, it's funny for how far he's committed to it, but like, I don't get it. And then I got it, and I'm just like, this is fucking great. Yeah, it's number one. But yeah, so seeing the Hulkbuster was fucking primo.
Yeah.
That was number one.
But the problem is that they are completely damaging this innocent city. And we already had an issue at the beginning of the movie in Sokovia when the civilians are super tired of this fight being over top of them in their town. And so that's kind of happening here as well. It's all over the news. And finally, as they keep fighting, Tony, that was a cool scene where he pushes him down. He's flying around and he goes to push him through that building that's being built. And he was like, how fast can we buy this building? And then proceeds to just punch him down the whole building and then knock him the fuck out finally and be done with him over that. So it was cool, but it was just like, get your shit together.
Right?
It's just super aggravating.
You are such a liability.
I know, exactly. So they finally get back onto the Quinjet.
Good job.
Yeah.
Proud of you. You get a gold Avenger sticker today.
Thank you so much. And so people are not very happy with them, so they decide they need to stay in stealth mode, and they go to the safe house, which is Hawkeye's home with his wife and two kids and one on the way.
Which I also didn't like.
You didn't like that he had a family?
No.
Or, okay.
I didn't like that, and I didn't like we said earlier, this whole farm sequence. Mm-hmm. Just I wasn't a fan of. Also, Joss Whedon is a tremendous fan of killing off a character that is like a beloved character. He does it in everything. I mean, he did it in Avengers with Agent Coulson.
Mm-hmm.
He did a series that it had one season on Fox called Firefly. It was a really good one season. It was Firefly, and then the movie was called Serenity. They did a movie to kind of wrap everything up,
mm-hmm.
and he killed off one of the fan favorite characters in there. Spoilers. And so I knew what he was doing here because, like, we're setting up Hawkeye with all of this, like, oh, shit, like, we're going to kill Hawkeye because that's mm-hmm. kind of the vibe you get.
You get too much in their life
and
then
I know,
love.
But
yeah.
Then I know Joss Whedon, and I'm like, so, like, Hawkeye's not going to die, which is cool because I love Hawkeye and
mm-hmm.
I love Jeremy Renner playing Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, all right, so who's gonna get cacked here?
Super sus.
Super sus. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a long sequence I don't feel like we needed. I feel like we could have just gone to the next thing. I didn't mind that he had the family, though. I didn't mind that he had a nice, normal life and that Natasha knew about it. Natasha was the only one who knew about it. I didn't hate it, but again, it took forever.
It did, yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely messed with the flow. Like, that's more
yes.
time we could have got with Ultron.
Super choppy, this
yeah.
movie was, for sure. But but they are at the safe house, which is his kind of farm, and Fury shows up.
He does.
At this point there, which, wait a minute, hold on. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead. We need to, okay, couple things. Hold on, I'm going to jump back. Okay, so they find out that he's got a family. Thor takes off because he needs to find answers. He wants to go back into his vision that he had and see if he can find something out. So he leaves. Then at some point, we also have a chopping, let's get back into Leanne's brain, like we did Galaxy. We have Tony Stark and Captain America chopping up wood.
That do it for you?
It was hot. Super manly. And then
you turn the lights down, you put some candles on.
I did. I thought about it. I had seen this gif before, and I didn't know. Now I've seen it in the movie
right.
where Cap just totally splits that one log in half.
That is now two Avengers movies in a row where you've now lived a meme.
Yes.
Now you know where the meme comes from.
Exactly. Now I know where the meme comes from. So that was super fun to watch. And I also love, like, Tony gets called away to go check on the tractor. And he's like, don't steal from my pile, he tells to Cap. And it's like the piles of wood that they've split are hugely different.
Yeah, Cap is sitting there taking these logs, just chopping them in half with one swing. Or in one case, just
ripping
it apart. I was like, yeah! That got a great reaction in the theater opening
mm-hmm.
night.
I would imagine so.
I was one of those people. I was like, "Fuck yeah, Cap!"
I mean, I enjoyed both being manly, but definitely Cap gets that one for sure.
You tell that log who's boss.
Yeah,
do it for the team.
Also, before Fury shows up, we get the scene again with Natasha and Banner about running away. Banner just kind of, or she wants to run. Isn't she the one that wants to run away? They've done their work. They just want to go.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and he's not really going for it because he's like, I'm a monster.
I can't hide anywhere.
No, I can't do anything.
I'm so emo.
There's no future with me, and I can't have children. It's impossible. And then you find out that the Red Room is where they sterilize the assassins, so Natasha can't have children either because it's one less thing to worry about.
Right.
Which was super sad.
Yeah.
I had to be sad to talk about when you're pregnant.
Right.
You know.
I would be much more inclined to hear more about the Red Room than that romance. Like,
yes.
We could have gotten more backstory there.
Yeah. That was fascinating. Because
yeah.
What was it like? A ballet was a front? Or was that just part of the training?
Yeah, just part of the
yeah,
training. You
you're
know,
supposed to break them down.
Basically making this group of elite assassins
yeah.
that can, you know, because, I mean, Natasha was when she was a Russian, you know, like one of the best spies, double agents.
She's a monster.
Duh.
So
I went from "fuck yeah, Cap" in the theater to "oh, come on."
Yeah, you do that.
What
yeah,
is this bullshit?
I get you. I get you.
Be better. You're the fucking Avengers.
That goes on the back of your tracksuit. Be better.
Be better.
Like, bitches, be better. Like, you don't have a tracksuit. I do. Be better.
Be better.
That's where it's at. So Tony gets asked to go look at the tractor, and then Nick Fury shows up. And Nick Fury, is this where they learn about the launch codes? Or they're kind of deciphering on what Ultron may be doing, and he's going after launch codes.
Yeah, but he's trying to get nuclear codes at this this facility. I think it's in Sweden or Oslo, somewhere like
sure.
that. Yeah.
And something is stopping. You hear that something is stopping Ultron from being able to get access. Like the something's changing the codes constantly, so Ultron can't access the missiles.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then during this conversation, they also figure that, like, where's Ultron going next? If he's not going, he's going after his codes. Like, what else is he trying to do? And Banner looks at a picture that one of Hawkeye's kids drew of a butterfly and realizes that, oh, he's going to go into a cocoon state and become a better version of Ultron. And they figure that the way that he's going to do this is with Dr. Cho from earlier in the movie. They're going to create a newer version of himself.
Which is funny, because I don't know if you had this reaction, but here's where my brain went with it. As soon as I saw the butterfly, I totally got it, because one of my favorite movies, Silence of the Lambs, I was like, oh, a butterfly! It means evolution! It means, you know, catalyst! You know, and then you get into the cocoon, and then you emerge something different. That's what Buffalo Bill tried to do! That's what Ultron's doing! That's where I went. I mean, totally got it.
All right.
Isn't that stupid? It's dumb. But anytime I see a butterfly, I'm like, oh, evolution. We're evolving into something.
So when you see, you know, these chicks with the tramp stamps with the butterfly, like, there's not a lot of evolution going on.
No,
there.
That one.
That's some
different.
Bad decision making right there is what that is.
You evolved into a whore.
Yeah. I think she was a whore before the butterfly got there. Maybe it's like you evolve into a soccer mom. See those moms cheering at the sideline. If that shirt goes up a little bit, it's like, ooh, you had wild 20s.
It's like, oh, she's got the tramp stamp. We've been a whore too long. Let's go find a man to marry and have kids. Anyways.
Before they go off to Target to buy their live, laugh, love.
Fuck y'all tramp stamps. Oh my God.
If you were rocking a tramp stamp, what would it be?
Oh shit.
Would it be a butterfly?
I feel like it would be a butterfly.
The butterfly from Silence of the Lambs.
It's gotta be a butterfly and then some tribal coming out on the sides. Let's make it ultra shitty.
Yes. Please do.
Yeah.
I will pay for that tattoo if you want to get it. I think that would be fucking hilarious.
I know I've seen some people who had like the Godsmack sun.
Yeah.
That was the thing, and then it kind of went out from there, you know?
Oh,
maybe
shit.
Maybe a good heartogram with some shit on the side.
God bless it.
Man.
Are you currently inked up at all? You don't have any tattoos.
I don't have any tattoos.
Okay.
No. I want a tattoo, but I haven't pulled the trigger on it.
All right. We're going to have you fully sleeved.
No.
Before we
No, I'd like to go home and visit my parents.
So. You can. You always wear long sleeves anyway.
That's true. I'm always cold.
Right?
So, yeah.
But maybe we could do, like, the right arm is phase one of Marvel.
Okay, no.
The left arm is phase two. The back piece is phase three.
We need to tone it down.
No, we got to talk about this. We got to get Lily inked up.
No, I don't want to be inked up.
God
I don't.
Damn it.
I can't do it. I am such a wimp. Like, as soon as I feel that first needle, I'm going to be like, I'm out. Yeah.
Well, start small. Like, we won't go with, like, the full Captain America sleeve yet.
Oh, okay, great.
We'll just, you know, we'll get you a little something-something.
Okay.
All right.
This is never going to happen.
Damn it.
I will say, though, I've never been to a tattoo place. And I've always wanted to go. It's fascinating to me. I've always wanted to watch it be done. Like, I could handle that, but I've never been.
All right.
So if you get anything inked up anymore, or you get something shaded or filled in or redone.
Get some new work.
Get some new work. Your Dr. Doom's a little faded over there. We he was a little ashy, we talked about. So maybe he could use some new ink.
We'll see about that. We'll see what you get invited to.
Ashy Doom over there needs some work.
Shit. You bitch.
Anyways. So.
You're about to get some this bitch text from me.
I know. So, yeah, Dr. Cho gets brought up because she makes that, she can make tissue, she can create that. So they decide they need to check up on her. In the meantime, Ultron's already made his visit to her, and he uses the scepter to take over her, like Loki used to do. And so he wants to use the regeneration chamber, because that's going to be his next evolution. Huh? Butterfly.
Yeah, he takes the vibranium that he got from a claw and he puts that in there. So, I mean, he's making like a souped up version of himself.
Because it's combining with the tissue to make like essentially like a vibranium skin, right?
Yeah, he then cracks open the jewel in the scepter to reveal the Mind Stone and puts that in the cradle.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's going to have an Infinity Stone on top of a vibranium body. He will be nigh unstoppable.
Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Wild.
And this is kind of where comics start to get weird. Because, I mean, like, you're creating this new being, and I'm sure a lot of people were going, what? Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck? Like, someone that's never read a comic book, like, what were you thinking?
Honestly, it is odd and weird, but look at what we've already encountered with the movies.
Right.
It didn't seem like a step to me. I've just completely accepted it now as comic book science. We joke about right. that, but I literally just am like, okay, comic book science. I don't even question it.
It's like 2 days earlier, I watched a movie with a talking raccoon in a tree.
Exactly. Like I'm not going to discriminate against anything. The only thing I have an issue with is Hulk's pants and him not being able to figure out how to tone it down. That's the only issue I have. And I think it's just because it's Hulk.
All right.
You know? So I totally accepted it. I was fine with it.
All right.
No problems
That's
here.
Legit.
No problems here. So, and also, I love, again, Spader was so great, but I love his little bit about vibranium, where he was like, Americans find, or humans get vibranium, and they make a frisbee out of it, you know? And they don't think ahead. That was really good.
Yeah, he's definitely not a big fan of humanity.
No, he's not. How things went awry so fast with such good intentions.
Right? Yeah, I'm kind of on Ultron's side here,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the most part. I know he's the villain. I know we're supposed to be rooting against him, but he does have some points.
He has some good logic here.
Mm-hmm.
I do appreciate logic, and he definitely had it.
Because really, I mean, if the first thing that you do when you become self-aware is to go on the internet and look at human history, you're like, yeah, I gotta blow this shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with it. Hashtag Ultron was right.
Yeah, we need to use that one. Meanwhile, we talked about at the farm, Thor left. He took off, and we figure out what he's doing. He met with Selvig. Is Selvig normal now?
Yeah, now he's a little more on point.
Hated him being crazy in the other one. So he wants to re-enter his dream, and what does he do? He goes to a stream or a pond, and he jumps in the water, and the water's supposed to help him recreate his memory or his vision.
This was another scene that was affected by the Joss Whedon Marvel executives' button heads.
Mm-hmm.
This was supposed to be a little more fleshed out.
Okay.
Which, again, you could have eliminated the entire scene at the farm. You could have eliminated the Banner-Natasha romance. You could have fleshed that one out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because essentially this was just a way to introduce the Infinity Stones officially.
Exactly. Because you get to see all six stones. And so that was a nice little introduction to them. And they're all colored pretty.
They're all colored pretty.
Yes.
Well, oh, God damn it, Leanne.
Honestly, sometimes I say things just knowing how you're going to react.
And that was one of them?
I'm triggering to you.
God, I am a...
What is it? Am I gaslighting you? Is that the thing?
Yeah, I think that's what you're doing. You are gaslighting me.
I think it is.
I have been gaslit. Where's my support group?
Right. Where's your hashtag and your group?
Oh, that's the back of my tracksuit. Hashtag gaslit.
And mine will be hashtag gaslighter.
Yeah. That's your superpower.
Right.
I will gaslight the shit out of you.
So Thor sees the pretty colored gemstones, Infinity Stones, and also during all this, Tony finds out that it's Jarvis that is keeping Ultron away from the missile codes, We also find that out. So Jarvis has his programming that he's sticking to. He doesn't even know he's doing it, but he's doing it, right? So we get that. And Ultron is updating himself into the body that they're creating in the chamber, correct?
Yeah, he's uploading. Yeah, he's putting all of his AI and his consciousness into the cradle.
Yeah. Now, the twins are there. Wanda at the time could not read Ultron, but she could read the being in the chamber. So she places her hands on the chamber and she sees what Ultron is uploading into his vision that he's uploading, right?
Yeah.
Which was super cool. I liked that.
I see what they were doing there.
Yeah. And so she sees that Ultron is planning on literally destroying the planet, because get rid of violence, you keep peace, you get rid of the humans, essentially is what he's doing. So right about there, that's where the Avengers get there, and they have to find the cradle and get it to Stark. That's the plan. Meanwhile, it is on a moving truck. Ultron had moved it onto a truck, so then we have this awesome fight sequence, and your girl Natasha comes out of the Quinjet with her motorcycle, and she's going, and she jumps onto the Cap fights Ultron, which was a great fight, keeping him occupied while Natasha does what she needs to do. Again, a great pairing with the two of them. And eventually the Iron Fleet, they get the truck, they've come to like a stop, so they get the truck up into the air, the trailer up into the air, and Natasha shoots it into the Quinjet, which was super cool.
There also, during this sequence, there was a line that got a lot of flack from crybabies on the internet, and I want to share it with you because you're usually on my side with most of these, and I want to bring this one to your attention.
Okay.
So there's a line when, after Cap is fighting Ultron, he like chucks his shield at him, and Ultron swats it away so the shield is on the ground or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And when Natasha's zooming by on the bike, and she's about to pick up the shield, she's like, "Ugh, I always have to pick up after you boys." Internet hated that line. I have now re-gaslit you.
God.
I have counter-gaslit you.
Is it because they're saying that a woman shouldn't have to pick up after the men and blah, blah, blah? Ugh, Jesus Christ.
It's always something.
I just saw it as a cute dig, like, oh, you bullies. Like, it was harmless.
Well, that's why you're a cool chick.
Well, I'm logical, to think.
Right.
Jesus Christ. And of all the things.
Just these insufferable crybabies on the internet that just bitch about everything.
People who look to be offended will be offended.
You
and
are
that's
correct.
Somebody looking to be offended, and they found it, and they're just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That's the dumbest thing I've heard. Were you offended by that? As a man, were you offended by that?
I mean, no.
Okay. As a woman, I'm not offended
not
by it.
Not even a little bit. In fact, it didn't even register with
me. It didn't with me either. Like, it was a cute line, and I'm sure I probably smirked, but I obviously didn't think of it enough to write it down.
I was still more offended by the fact that we had this entire movie and now Natasha is finally getting a chance to be a badass when not two movies earlier, she was fucking kicking dudes off of buildings and shit.
Right.
Going toe-to-toe with the Winter Soldier.
Well, you know, everybody does have an off day. What are you saying? Because she's a woman, she has to be on all the time and she can't just be soft and have her moment? Are you telling me that? Oh, triggered! Hashtag triggered!
Those same people that bitch about, oh, always picking up after you boys, or bitching about the mama monster line. I can't have kids either because who's the real monster here? Like, the same people bitching about that are the same people that bitch because there's no strong, positive females in movies. When, again, not two movies earlier, Natasha's just whooping ass, being awesome. Like, is an equal to Steve Rogers. It's like, go watch that one again and shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
Go watch another movie where, you know, there's strong, empowered females.
Look at Wanda in this movie.
Right.
My God. I mean, even, and you know, Natasha had her downtime for a while, but even then, she had the coolest, her pushing that cradle into the Quinjet was awesome.
That was rad.
That was super rad.
Her just, like, zipping through the city on that bike. That was rad.
Yes. Yeah. Shut the fuck up. Those people aren't listening to this podcast. They gave up.
Oh no!
If they even tried.
No, no, no. They're
waiting.
They're too. No. Well, no. They're waiting until we get famous, and then they'll come back and cancel us.
Remember on episode 30 when they were talking about how we were dumb?
Yeah. Right.
That is a bad line, and you condone it. You're not a woman who supports women. That's exactly what I'm going to get.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know your host is just gaslighting you.
You know that you are not fighting for yourself against your host. He's totally abusing you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Meanwhile, you know, keep in mind, that's my plan. I'm slowly getting you on men's side.
Right.
No, Leanne, we have to have you infiltrate women as a woman.
I was told.
Oh, wait, hold up. I apologize. I just assumed your gender.
Oh, how dare you?
Hashtag triggered.
You don't know how I identify. How dare you assume?
After Age of Ultron, I choose to identify as a android synthesoid.
And you just have to deal with it.
That just hates humanity.
Exactly. Oh, God. I was told once that I was the most anti-woman ever, and I was like, that's not true. I just try to go by logic as much as I can, and some shit just isn't logical.
Right.
Like, I'm not just going to say, oh, well, this is a woman, so let's just give her all... It's like, no, if she's being an idiot, she's a fucking idiot.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I try to be that way.
That's what's up. And that's why you we're know, friends.
I think so.
That's why we do a podcast together.
Definitely do have my moments, though, where logic is out the window, for sure. But, you know, for the most part, I try to be...
Like, if you were one of those people that got bent out of line about, you know, oh, I'm always picking up after you boys, like, this podcast would have ended...
We'd have never had one.
Day one. Well, that's true. We also
would have never gotten to this point.
We never would have had one. We wouldn't have started out being work friends, which eventually led us to be real friends.
Right. Yeah, there was a progression.
Which now, I mean, we're currently hell buddies.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm not hell buddies with anyone that gets offended by, I'm always picking up after you boys.
I would have that never even crossed my mind that somebody would have a problem with that.
Just imagine opening night, like some just miserable woman is there with her dude who just, he loves Marvel movies, and he's like, oh, come on, babe, please, can we see this one movie? We've watched so many of your art films for like the last 3 years. Can we please,
that's what I was gonna say,
can we please come to this one Avengers movie that I love so much? And she's like, ugh. Fine, let me tweet about how miserable I am. Let me tweet about, let me tweet about the patriarchy. And then she's just sitting in the theater. I'm always picking up after you boys. Her rumps! Crosses her arms. Gets all, meh. It will be missionary position sex forever. And that's not going to be for another 5 months because you're fucking cut off. Tweet this. Hashtag Avengers is the devil or whatever fucking, I'm sorry, what happened?
I'm like, sorry, that harumph was on point.
Harumph!
Harumph!
That's literally the noise I make if I ever happen to be scrolling through social media and see some just dumb comment like that. I'm like, harumph! That's just how I imagine everyone getting all up in a tizzy.
Yeah, you did it correctly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly. I mean, I could see that happening in my head as you were narrating. That was too on point. Yeah, I've seen all your art films. Can I please just go to this one movie? You fucking simp.
You fucking simp.
You fucking simp. Oh, God, my God. That's damn great. Also, while this, let's go back to Avengers.
Yes.
Who?
Avengers Age of Ultron.
We also need to point out that during this big fight, you know, Cap is trying to get Ultron out of the way so that Natasha can get the cradle so they can get it to Stark. And while that's happening, actually, the twins start helping Cap. Because they realize, hey, we need to stop Ultron because he's going to destroy the entire Earth.
They picked the wrong side.
Yeah, exactly. Also, while Natasha was getting the cradle into the Quinjet, she is grabbed and taken away by Ultron.
She gets captured by a couple of the drones.
Yeah.
And then Captain America ends up on a subway, a train car.
Yeah.
And he fights Ultron there for a little bit. Ultron destroys the control, so the train is careening out of control, about to crash into civilians. So Pietro is running in front of the train, zipping people out of the way.
Yeah.
Wanda's trying to lift the train up with her power, slow it down. That was a cool sequence.
That was
I liked
really
that one.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't realize how powerful they were or how, I mean, they were portrayed greatly in this film.
Yeah.
I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great introduction to both of these characters, I thought.
Yeah, because Scarlet Witch was somebody I did, oh, we're not supposed to call her that, Wanda, was somebody I didn't think I'd care about or because I didn't know much about. And so now, so this has proven me wrong on Hawkeye and Wanda.
Right on.
So yeah, because so that was the two great things out of the film for me. Anyway.
All right, that's fair. And I liked Elizabeth Olsen. Like she's the you know sister to the Olsen twins,
which people don't know that, and I don't understand how they don't know that. I can immediately look at her and be like, "That's an Olsen."
Oh yeah.
But I grew up with the Olsen twins, yeah. So you know.
I always think it's funny that, and you may not remember this because you're a bit on the younger side. But before the Olsen twins hit 18, there was this really kind of just gross and obnoxious feature that a lot of rock radio morning shows did where it's like, hey, when are the Olsen twins turning 18?
Yeah.
Like all these shock jocks would try to do that. And like full disclosure, I'm not above like gross, disgusting humor. I'm a big fan of it. As a matter of fact, if you've listened to any part of this podcast, you could probably figure that out.
Right.
But like waiting for twins to turn 18, I'm just like, come on. And then they turned out to be kind of like gross meth heads anyway. And one of them killed Heath Ledger. So boom. See, I like inappropriate humor. Came around full circle. But then all this time,
I forgot she was there, wasn't she?
Oh yeah.
That full story hasn't come out, has it?
We could have had the Joker return in The Dark Knight Rises, which would have made it a much better movie, were it not for that goddamn Olsen twin. Fuck.
Was it Mary Kate or Ashley?
I don't care. They're both the same. They look the same.
They're women. They have their own identities.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Anyway, I just find it super amusing that the truly talented one was the not twin. I like her. Her movies are great.
Okay. The one who's not guilty of murder.
Yeah, the one who didn't kill Heath Ledger. You took Heath from us.
Wow. I forgot all of that until you just reminded me.
Well, I'm happy to be the...
Glad you brought it back, friend.
something else for to rattle around in your head.
Just another thing for you.
Just one more reason why I'll eventually be canceled.
Can't wait.
You heard what you said about Heath Ledger, didn't you?
Oh my gosh, yeah, somebody's gonna grab a hold of this band. Anyways, back to Avengers Age of Ultron. We get the cradle to Stark's lab eventually, and Stark is supposed to, again, he and Banner are supposed to destroy the being in the cradle. And then Tony decides, since Jarvis is the one who's trying to scramble the nuclear missile codes, that he needs to upload Jarvis into the body that's in the cradle.
Because he can't leave well enough alone.
And Wanda, I think, even knows that because he's trying to make things right. Because she knows what his vision was and where his head's kind of at with everything. So he convinces Banner to do that, and Cap comes in, wants to shut it down. Oh, Cap, when he has authority and he walks in with those big shoulders swinging and that itty-bitty waist. Ah! Anyway.
I get it. And I'm like, I am a 100% straight dude.
Right?
Very much attracted to my wife. But when Cap comes walking in, I'm like, yup. Tapping Rachel on the shoulder in the theater. I'm like, why can't you be more like that at home?
Why can't you be more like that?
Just coming in, waving somebody, that authority around.
Right?
Cat, what's up?
Yeah.
What you need, man? I got you.
Whatever you want. Whatever it is, I'll do it.
You can do whatever you like.
Yeah. So Cap wants to shut everything down, and Quicksilver actually Pietro, he unplugs everything. He puts the power down, if I'm correct.
Yeah, everyone's arguing about whether or not they should plug it in or do whatever, and he's like, fuck this, I'm going to take charge here. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, you were saying?
Yes.
And then out of nowhere, just like a bullet comes up through the ground. Hawkeye shoots out the floor from beneath Pietro.
Yeah.
He's like, what, you didn't see that coming? Nice little callback there.
Yep. Because I don't think he knows that the twins are helping now. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so they're arguing about this, and then all of a sudden, here comes Thor from his Vision Lake quest thing.
His Vision Lake quest
thing. And he comes down upon the cradle, and he shoots his damn lightning, and he powers everything back on, and then out of the cradle We get Vision.
Yeah.
I didn't know how Vision even came about. I hardly remember Vision.
Well, there you go.
I do remember him in Infinity War and his role at the end there. Yeah. So they kind of have a kerfuffle.
Kerfuffle.
But Thor kind of stops them from fighting Vision because they think they need to fight him. But you realize that Vision, he has the Mind Stone in his forehead there. And Thor said, I've seen a Vision. I've seen the Infinity Stones. That's the Vision Stone. And there's a whirlpool of death that I saw. But Jarvis is fully, I guess, uploaded into Vision, and he doesn't want to kill humanity. In fact, he's the opposite of Ultron.
Yeah, he's not Jarvis. He's not Ultron.
Right, he's not Jarvis. But he sounds like Jarvis.
He is. Which was nice to get Paul Bettany in mm-hmm. the movie. He was the actor who played the voice of Jarvis or whatever.
Yeah.
And at this point in his career, he actually thought his career was over.
Interesting. You know, I had caught that was Paul Bettany. Now, I wouldn't have known if I hadn't seen movies out of order, but I realized it because was he Jarvis from the beginning?
He was, yeah, because he worked with John Favreau on a movie, and when Favreau was putting Iron Man together, because we talked about how Jarvis in the comics was an actual person, mm-hmm. an actual butler, but he wanted to just make it like an AI or whatever.
Okay.
And he needed a voice that just sounded very kind of computery, very kind of monotone, but still had some personality to it.
Yeah.
And he immediately thought of Paul Bettany. So Paul just came in and he was the voice
yeah.
of Jarvis. And Paul Bettany tells a story where right before, I think it was Age of, it was either before he got the voice of Jarvis or the actual Vision, he left a meeting with his agent, and he said, "I mean, it's kind of done for you, man. It's kind of like over in Hollywood for you."
Wow.
And then he got to be cast in mm-hmm. the biggest franchise of all time.
Yeah. Well, I was excited to see because I recognized the voice, and I was like, "How are they going to then have Paul Bettany as Vision if he's the voice of Jarvis?" So I kept looking forward to that. I didn't know what was going to happen.
All right.
Yeah. So that was cool for me to see. But yeah, he's a good guy. Vision's on the side of life. And he also, people kind of aren't sold on it. And then he picks up Thor's hammer.
That was a wild scene in the movie.
That was super cool.
That probably got the biggest reaction in the theater.
It probably got the biggest reaction for me.
I definitely had the nerd tingles real hard on that one.
Right. Was that a thing that happened in the comics? Or was this a totally movie thing?
There have been in the comics. There have been several that have picked up Thor's hammer. I honestly can't remember if Vision has or not.
Okay, but it has been picked up by others before in the comics.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I didn't know I was going to see that.
And I wasn't expecting it either. I was still pissed because I'm like, you're telling me the Cap can't lift that fucking hammer? That's bullshit.
He does seem like he should be able to. Like, we should have given him that.
And then this robot picks it up. Fuck you. Still a cool moment.
It was a super cool moment. So he's worthy to pick up the hammer. He's worthy to be on the Avengers side. And also, the safest place to keep the Infinity Stone is with them, so that they're not all together. All six stones aren't together.
Correct.
Meanwhile, Natasha goes old school spy, and she's able to send out a code to Hawkeye, Morse code, and they figure out that she's back in Sokovia. Ooh.
Now we know where we're going.
Now we know where we're going. So they find her location back where it all started. But they're going to approach things differently this time, because the first time a lot of civilians got hurt, the town got destroyed. So their priority is to evacuate the city before they start the fight with Ultron. That's Cap's orders.
Yep.
Cap's in charge. There was a cute joke at the beginning where Cap's in charge, but Tony Stark just pays for everything yeah. and makes everything look cool and run right, you know.
Yeah,
Cap's
Maria Hill, when they get back in the beginning, she's like, "Hey, what's up, boss?" She's like, "Oh, no, actually, he's the boss," points to Cap.
Yeah.
I just pay for everything, make everyone look cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good little Tony Stark dig.
That's right. Know your role.
Yeah. So the Avengers start to evacuate the town, and Iron Man actually finds Ultron in the church, which was super cool. And he's a little bit bigger this time.
You've
as
been
well.
Juicing?
I don't want to say you're puffy, but
just great banter between those two.
Super, super good.
Again, we could have had more of that interaction had we just cut some of the bullshit out of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, we needed him more, and like that interaction with him and Stark specifically. That was super good. Yeah. The Iron Fleet shows up, which is not really the Iron Fleet anymore.
No, they're all Ultron.
They're all
drones
Ultron.
Now.
Like Ultron is all of them now. He's all the beings.
Yep.
Essentially.
He can pop to anyone he wants.
Mm-hmm. Vision shows up at the church to, what does he do exactly here? He grabs a hold of him, doesn't he? And he burns him out of the internet. Correct?
Yeah. So, when Vision eventually gets a hold of him, yeah, he kind of, you know, puts his hands to his head and just kind of blocks him out so that Ultron can't, you know, if they destroy one of his bodies, he can upload it to a different one or upload it through the internet, and now he's blocked them out of that.
Exactly. So only his physical beings are what remain, and once they're out, they're out. Okay. So that happens, and they continue on with the plan. They're trying to get people out of there. They're trying to get people rescued, and then all of a sudden, the town starts to elevate.
Yeah, we get Ultron's master plan.
Yeah. So the plan is he's got this core in the church, which a lot of that banter was him stalling. He's got the core in the church, and basically there's a magnetic core that is keeping the town together as it comes out into the air. It's floating out, and he's going to raise it up high enough to drop it, and it will be like a meteor. And it will destroy Earth.
The only thing left will be metal.
Yes!
That's a great line.
Oh, him wiping out all of humanity is pretty fucking awesome.
I'm with it.
And talking about how, you know, seeing the meteor would be like seeing a beautiful cleanse of the Earth. Like, that's how it should be.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fascinating. Like, I wouldn't want to die, but I can follow your moral trail and be like, okay.
I'm with it, yeah.
That's why serial killers are fascinating to me, because their moral compass, where it heads and how it gets there, is fascinating.
Right.
I needed more of that with Ultron. Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah. From a, you know, like a mass genocide standpoint,
yeah.
It's like, you know, you got to just be indiscriminate with who you wipe out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, as the, I really liked this scene where the Avengers are still trying to save the city, and they're still fighting Ultron, all of the, you know, drones of Ultron, and Hawkeye and Wanda, they get injured, and Wanda kind of has her moment where she's kind of freaking out a bit, and she's like, I caused this, we caused this to happen, and Hawkeye's like, it doesn't matter. All that matters is, you know, how you fight. So I don't have time to babysit you. This is all weird. Like, there's robots coming and I have arrows and it's all weird.
The city is flying?
Yes.
The city's flying and we're fighting robots and I have a bow and arrow. None of this makes sense.
Yeah, it was super cute. And he was like, I don't have time to babysit. If you walk out here and start fighting with me, you're an Avenger.
I fucking love it. Like, yeah. Initially at the theater, Vision lifting up Mjolnir, that was like the oh fuck moment.
Mm-hmm.
Upon repeated viewings, that little speech from Hawkeye is the moment. When he's like, when you walk out that door, you are an Avenger. And I'm just like, motherfucker, yes! Yes, you are, Wanda! You walk out that door, you whoop those asses, and you are an Avenger!
Yes.
And
I'm
then,
with you on that.
And then when it cuts to the bit where we get the shot of the outside of the door kicks open, and then just in slow-mo, she comes out. Hand all red with energy and just like shoots it out and blasts a drone or two. I'm like, yes.
It was awesome. That was probably my favorite part, just because it was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I loved getting to know Hawkeye. Now I love him completely, and I didn't know if I would care about him as a character or not. So yeah, that was so good.
Great moment.
Yeah. So she does that. She gets her shit together. She's an Avenger now. And Tony is trying to figure out how exactly to fix this problem. There's still civilians on the city that is now in the air, and he figures out that the only way to fix it is to vaporize, like to blow it up and vaporize the city, correct?
Yeah, from basically hit the core from the bottom,
yeah.
And it would just basically incinerate the city before it got to a point where it would cause any damage.
Exactly. The problem is we still have civilians on the city. Cap is not leaving one life. Innocent life there in the city. And then thank God Nick Fury shows up on a helicarrier.
There's also, before that happens, there's also a great Cap speech, another one where everyone is kind of getting to the point where they're starting to get their asses kicked a little bit, and Cap is just like, hey, we got a mission to do. We gotta take care of business. If you get hurt, get back up. If you get killed, walk it off. I was like, son of a bitch.
God, I was ready. I was ready to fight.
I would die for Captain America.
100%.
I am ready to go.
Yep. I'm with you. So Nick Fury, he has the helicarrier, and it's got the little shuttles to save people to get them off of the off of the city. And War Machine shows up.
War Machine.
What was it? Iron Patriot.
Was the last one. Yep. Yeah. He's back as War Machine.
He starts kicking fucking ass, and so as they're getting, you know, civilians off, I believe this is where the Avengers assemble at the core, because now they don't want Ultron to detonate it too fast, because it's still going to kill billions of people.
Because, even if he drops it early, that's still a couple billion people wiped out.
Exactly. So now they've got to defend the core, and they don't want to set it off too early. So that was an awesome fucking sequence of them just in that circle, just fighting off all of Ultron, all of the drones. That was freaking amazing.
I like that one.
Yeah, that was really good. And let's see, Thor, Tony, and Vision, they actually end up melting Ultron a little bit. That was a cool thing.
Yeah, they're all just blasting energy at him.
And now we're at a point where I believe pretty much all the drones are gone for the most part, and so now the Avengers kind of have to make it to the safety crafts.
So Wanda stays behind to guard the core just in case any stragglers come along. Everyone's loading up the last few survivors onto the boats to get to the helicarrier. And then Hawkeye, who we were convinced this entire movie is going to die, like gets on the boat, sits down, catches his breath, and then sees some woman like screaming for her brother.
Yeah.
For a little rugrat who happens to be
a dumb fucking kid.
Yep.
God, we hate your kids. They're putting Avengers' life at risk. So he gets off and he goes to save the child. And about that time, it looks like Ultron has taken control of the Quinjet, and he's shooting and firing off bullets. And this is where we know Hawkeye's gone. I thought he might have been gone.
Yeah.
But luckily, he just turns. He accepts it. He knows there's no way out. And Quicksilver, or Pietro, grabs him and moves him out of the way, him and the child out of the way. But in that act, he gets shot and he dies.
Didn't see that coming.
Oh!
The reaction in the theater was just like, ah. And I was like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Why?
Why did we have to do that? At least it wasn't Hawkeye, though.
I mean, it wasn't, but we kind of got robbed of... Like, and I like Aaron Taylor Johnson. He's a pretty decent actor in the movies I've seen him in.
Mm-hmm.
I liked him as Pietro. I wanted more of that.
Okay.
But then I also kind of knew that it would make for a better arc for Wanda in future films, and it does.
Okay.
So I mean, it eventually pays off. But I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Why? Fuck you, Joss Whedon.
And Wanda's reaction to it was crazy. How she let out all that energy and just screamed it. Like, that was a cool sequence. Luckily, Hulk comes out of nowhere and gets to the ship, gets to the Quinjet. Was this where Ultron was like, not again?
Yeah.
And he gets thrown out of the fucking ship. So now Hulk has the Quinjet. And Wanda ends up abandoning her post at the core. And this causes Ultron's there, isn't he? And he was like,
finds where Ultron has landed after the Hulk throws him out of the plane.
And he was like, if you stay here, you'll die. And she was like, I've already died. And she goes, do you want to know what it feels like? And she rips out his fucking chest.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved that.
Felt like that.
Yep, felt like that. And while she has abandoned her post with Ultron, one of the drones ends up firing off the core.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Starts plummeting down, and Tony gets underneath, starts firing up that arc reactor.
Yeah, him and Thor are working together on this, fires it up. Vision ends up finding Wanda and saves her, and the city explodes, and it falls into the water.
Disaster
all of
averted.
Mm-hmm,
Avengers for the save.
Yes, exactly. They save it. Little side note, Hulk... gets a transmission from Natasha, who says it's time to come back, but he turns it off and he stays in stealth mode. He flies off. The monster's running away. I'm running away. No one will ever love me.
I'm the real monster.
I'm the real monster.
Sanctuary.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Vision actually encounters the last Ultron and ends up... Ultron, I think, tells him that, you know, because Vision wants to be on the side of life. And Ultron tells him, like, you're naive. And Vision has this great line that was like, well, I was just born yesterday.
I like that line. I also really like the, well, something isn't beautiful because it lasts.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, we should just wipe out people. I'm with you. I'm with you, too. Let's get rid of them. We had our time.
Yeah, Vision was like, there's also grace in their... in their mishaps or something like that. And I'm like, no, there's not.
Nah, not really.
No, that's wrong.
Like, well, clearly Vision hasn't been on Facebook yet.
Has not been on the social meds.
I think he might change his tune. All right, Vision, so we just saved the day. We stopped Ultron. You said you were born yesterday. Let's show you some things. This is something that we humans spend a lot of time on daily. Mm-hmm. Check this out. This is called Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Vision, what are you doing? Vision, put the knife down. Jesus. Oh, my God.
I love that he went for a knife and didn't zap you with the Infinity Stone. That's just right in his forehead.
Yeah, I think after seeing Facebook, Vision would get real stabby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real stabby. I like it. That happens. Ultron's gone. Hawkeye returns home to the secret farm. Tony sets up a new Avengers facility out of an abandoned building, and they decide to let Vision keep the stone. That's the best thing to do. And
still not convinced he's worthy, though. I mean, because if you put the hammer in an elevator still goes up and down. Elevator's not worthy.
Right, that's right. They're bantering on the physics still of the hammer. Exactly. Oh, my goodness gracious. So they decide that Thor's going to figure out kind of what's going on because we've had four of these Infinity Stones make their presence known within the last few years. Somebody's pulling the string. Somebody's puppeteering here somewhere.
Uh-huh.
So he's going to go figure that out. Zooms out, has no care for lawn maintenance.
Leaves his little runes behind from the Rainbow Bridge.
Exactly. And then this was the coolest. This was super cool. Cap and Natasha. Natasha's a little sad about Banner. And Cap and Natasha, though, they get it together and they go to work on the new recruits for the Avengers. Vision, Falcon's there, Wanda, and War Machine.
Boom.
Woo! And he goes, Avengers, and you think he's going to say assemble, and then that's the end of the movie.
Like, I was a big, like, I was like getting tingly because I thought we were going to get Avengers Assemble.
Uh-huh.
Which is the rallying cry from the comics. Like, we've been waiting for it. Kind of shocked we didn't get it in the first movie. Thought we might have even got it earlier in the movie when Iron Man was up in the air and he's like, Avengers? And then I'm like, oh! And he's like, time to go to work for a living.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that I have not heard Avengers Assemble?
You have not.
I've not?
You have not heard it.
No shit.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I hadn't heard
that.
Did
you Mandela effect Avengers Assemble in your head?
I just feel like they're saying it every 5 minutes at this point.
No. Has not been said at this point.
Oh.
And I was like, and then that happens, and I was like, okay, so this is how we're gonna do it. We're gonna cock tease it until
Shit.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that we hadn't heard it yet.
Oh, ho, ho.
Well, we haven't. And I bet it's gonna be remarkable when I do hear it.
Oh my God.
Holy fucking shit. Okay. So that's the end of the movie.
Now, did you notice that when Wanda came down, she looked not entirely like Elizabeth Olsen? She looked a little different?
No, I noticed her outfit was different a bit, but not.
Okay.
Not, it was her.
Well, so when I saw that in the movie, I was like, well, she looked odd. She looked a little unlike herself, I thought anyway. And it turns out I wasn't just putting that into my head. Apparently, Joss Whedon in that scene wanted Captain Marvel to make her very first appearance. So she would have come down and been like, oh, shit, that's Captain Marvel.
Oh.
But then, you know, the studio's like, no, we're going to save her for later. She's she's a part of something else. And it would have thrown a lot of people off. Your casual movie fans, not comic book fans, were like, wait, who the fuck is that?
Right. That needed to be a post something, not a part of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So was it a different person or was it just her? Was it her?
Well, so there's a deleted scene that's out there where like an animated version, like a pre-CGI version of Captain Marvel comes down. But it was still Elizabeth Olsen. They just used her kind of flying down.
Okay.
And that, and her face looks a little different. That's all.
Oh.
So we could have got, we should have got Captain Marvel there, but we didn't. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. I like Wanda better.
Get the fuck out of here, Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I think Wanda's a better character all around.
So then we get to the post-credit scene.
Mm.
Oh, which is so good. It's Thanos, and he gets out the gauntlet.
Yep.
What you're talking about? Which gauntlet I thought was something you ran. And,
I don't know why that just hit me as so fucking funny. I thought a gauntlet was something you ran.
Right?
Leanne Foster, 2021.
So anyways, he goes and he puts on the gauntlet. Not something you run.
Not
goes on your hand. And,
very stationary.
Very stationary. And he puts it on and he says, fine, I'll do it myself. And you just see his fucking face and his grin and he's just ready to go, man. And that's the end.
Boom. And that was Avengers Age of Ultron. Not as glowing a review as the first Avengers.
No, I definitely liked the first Avengers better. Again, this one had some great parts. I loved Ultron. I loved the whole thing, or you know, the theme of it, the plot. It just needed to be tightened up a bit. A little too shoppy.
I will not spoil anything, but I will tell you that the Avengers movies from this point on get astronomically better. I mean, you've seen one of them. You've seen one of them.
Yeah.
Also, this movie. When they announced it called Age of Ultron in the comics, there was a comic series, a mini series called Age of Ultron, which was a really good series, nothing like the comic books, but they decided to, you know, since this was kind of fresh in comic readers' minds, they'd call the movie Age of Ultron, which in retrospect, I'm like, you should have called it something else because for an age, quote unquote, of Ultron, it lasted like 2 weeks.
Yeah, he really didn't rule anything. So
no.
That's not really an age.
No.
No.
That's just more like the week of Ultron. But that doesn't have as catchy of a title.
That doesn't sound as good on a poster.
No.
No.
The week of Ultron.
The week.
The 8 days of Ultron.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah. But it was still enjoyable, still good. Again, if this is the worst, I mean, I think we're doing pretty well.
I mean, yeah, you know? there are far worse Marvel movies at this point. I mean, mm-hmm. Thor the Dark World, still. Avengers of Age of Ultron, way better than that.
Yes, I would say that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
So now we have one movie left for Phase 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a movie that you've seen the sequel to.
Yeah, but not this one.
But not the Orig, as you would like to call it.
Yep.
So next, well, later this week, we're gonna be wrapping up Phase 2 of MCU with Ant-Man.
On Thursday. Still Thursday, whether we talk about him or not.
Now, you said you have seen Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Ant-Man and Wasp.
Haven't seen this one.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of mentioned to me that you're just like, I guess I got to watch Ant-Man.
I mean, I hate having to watch something after the Avengers. Like, it's odd to me. You know?
Okay.
Like, that should be the end of that phase. And also, ants.
Ants?
Ants?
What the fuck?
You know? I don't feel like I'm going to be blown away, but, you
okay.
know. But, I, right. but I'm going into it with an open mind. Because I am all about these Marvel movies now.
You
it's
are
now my life.
You are now a convert.
Right?
Maybe that's going to be the first tat. Maybe because last week you talked about Groot so much. Maybe you got to get that Groot tattoo. Get you a Groot tramp stamp.
I'm not. Oh my gosh, then his vines go?
Yeah. His vines form the tribal symbols that you want.
Ah, some of those little lightning bugs just around.
Yeah.
No, I'm not getting a tattoo.
God damn it.
I am not getting one.
We'll get you inked up. Just like Rocket's going to get that leg. You're going to get that tattoo.
Oh, no. I might be in trouble.
So,
oh, shit.
So we'll be back again later this week
mm-hmm.
Thursday, reviewing Thursday. The last movie of Thursday.
Thursday.
The last movie of Phase 2. We'll be chatting Ant-Man. So between now and then, you should subscribe to this podcast so you get those automatic notifications, let you know when we drop new videos. Because I'm sure at this point you're used to having them only on Mondays, but now last couple weeks we've been dropping them on Thursdays, and you're like, what the hell? This is awesome. This breaks up the monotony of my week.
Exactly. That's what we're here for.
At least that's the way I envision it.
Me too. I won't envision it in any other way.
No.
We're not a nuisance.
No, not at all. I don't imagine someone going, ugh, I got to plow through another Huntsville Home video on a Thursday. Jesus.
That's not in the vocabulary.
Not, it's not.
No.
No, people don't say that. And we are greatly...
They think it. They don't say it.
Yeah, right, we are appreciative for that. And we would love it if you followed us on the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Hit us up at...
HSV Home Video.
And also be sure to follow our sponsor, Underboss Photography, _photography on Instagram. Hit them up on Facebook. They take some absolutely amazing pictures. If you are local to the Huntsville area, you can get some great pictures for really anything. If you want your vehicles taken, if you want some headshots taken, if you want some scenic pictures taken, we do have some amazing scenery around this here part of Alabama. Give Underboss Photography a call.
Mm-hmm.
Follow them on the social medias. After you follow us on the social medias.
I think I've infiltrated your brain with abbreviations more than you want to admit.
At this point, there's a few of them that I'm just accepting. I almost say social medias ironically and angrily.
Right.
Like, I'm not happy about it.
Right.
There are times when I look at myself in the mirror and just shake my head. I'm like, what have you become? You're gonna before when I was getting ready today, I made myself a nice little chai tea.
I was
putting that together and just caught my reflection in the mirror,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, you're gonna go record a podcast. At some point, the word meads is gonna leave your mouth, and it's not gonna say, hey, three meads for me and my fellow drinkers here. No, I'm not talking about mead. I'm abbreviating media. Because Leanne has done it, and now it's wormed its way into my brain, and I hate it. And I hate all of this happening while I'm looking at myself in the mirror. Just like slapping myself in the face. I'm like, be better than that.
It's all I wanted to do was just worm my way into your brain.
You're a piece of shit.
And I did it.
One of my good friends who hosts a podcast,
mm-hmm.
at the end, when they're signing off, he now says follow us on the social medias.
I've done it.
And every time, I'm just like, God damn it, stop saying it.
I've done everything I've wanted to do at this point.
Is this your resignation?
This is my last episode.
Is this your two-week notice?
I will not be seeing you on Thursday. I'm just out.
Oh, you're just flat out.
Fuck all y'all,
you're
I'm
just
out.
Walking out. Okay.
I did my damage. I'm fucking out.
All right. Well, I'm looking for a new host here for Huntsville Home Video. Your only requirement is that you have to have not seen a lot of movies,
mm-hmm.
and you can say the word media.
I don't think the world's ready for that. Maybe I should stay on.
Oh, do it for the people, Leanne.
Do it for the people.
Do it for your dozens of fans.
Yes.
Because no one likes me by myself. Like, they need you to kind of. They need you to kind of cut down the edge of.
Really? We've insulted women. We've totally been absolutely terrible.
I mean, that's true.
We've advocated now for Ultron's whole total plan, which is completely obliterate the Earth.
But imagine how much more unhinged and horrible I would be without you to kind of reel it back in.
I don't feel like I did that, but I will take the credit, whatever
I mean,
you want.
Go back and listen again. By the time I'm about to go off on a rant that would probably get us canceled, you're like, anyway, Age of Ultron.
Oh, okay, so I'm saving more lives than I realized.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Including yours.
Possibly.
All right, I'll stay.
Thanks for sticking around.
Of course.
I appreciate it. We at least gotta get through Phase 3.
Exactly. We're hell buddies for a reason.
Yeah,
let's just continue to walk through it.
Gotta introduce you to some Tarantino movies.
Yeah.
We gotta do that eventually.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're back.
Okay.
We're back. We're not going anywhere.
We're stronger than ever, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unified front, bitch.
Woo!
We'll be back on Thursday. Until then, be kind and rewind.